Come on, let's begin to magnify him tonight. We magnify your name. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
our God is great.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Yeah.
Come on, if you know he's greater than anything, come on, would you lift your voice? Magnify him tonight. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored.
Yeah.
Somebody give him praise tonight. We worship you, Jesus.
Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus in the house tonight. Come on, let's give him glory on a Wednesday night. Come on, let's praise him. We love you, Savior. We glorify you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let's really praise him tonight. We came all this way. Oh, I'm not going through the motions tonight. I want to give God glory. Oh, there's no God like Jehovah. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Oh, we praise your name. Clap your hands, all ye people. Come on and shout unto God. We love you, Savior. We glorify you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, asking our ushers to receive our Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. Be faithful in your support to the things of God, the work of God. Please make time for personal daily devotion. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Fast as often as you can. Pray for our church family. Pray for our city, our valley, and our nation. Effectual, fervent prayer, amen, sets the prisoner free. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. Be out there inviting folks to the house of God. Be faithful in your witnessing. Also, youth camp, June 23rd through the 26th. Cost is $250. Due on May 27th. If you have any questions, see Sister Bray for applications and more info. Also announcing a business meeting and a board meeting. We have to do this three times, so that will be in the next three services. It will be a board meeting and then a business meeting following for the church. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this house tonight. God, it's an honor to be in church tonight. God, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing is blowing my way.
It's a season of power.
It's a season of power.
Yeah.
Can we magnify the Lord tonight? Come on, can we give him glory and praise and honor? He's worthy. Come on, give him the glory due his name tonight. Come on, give him the glory due his name tonight. Lord, you're worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Oh, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, Savior. Praise God, amen. Matthew chapter 6. Thankful for everyone who's in the house of the Lord tonight. Pray for those who could not be here. Some are homesick, some are home. Praise God. I heard a ad today from a lady who was basically defying the Ramsey way of saving money and paying off bills. And she was saying that was not the plan for women. I'm just telling you what she said. I'm not advocating or whatever. I don't know what her reasoning was, but I do know this. Right after that, there was an ad for Dave Ramsey, and he says, you get what you tolerate. You get what you tolerate. If you tolerate laziness, you'll get laziness. If you tolerate inconsistency, you'll get inconsistency. If you tolerate sloppiness and half-heartedness, you get what you tolerate. And I don't want to tolerate in my life anything that doesn't magnify God, anything that doesn't put God first, anything that doesn't exalt him. I want to make sure that I'm doing it. And there will be those that will dispute that. Doesn't take all that. But you know what? You'll get what you tolerate. And you know, I don't know what this lady's motivations. Well, I know what her motivations are. She wants people to follow her program so she can make money, so she can be debt free, and call in Ramsey and tell him she's debt free. But I don't know. Anyway, so thankful for everyone who's here tonight. Make church a priority. If we do not make church a priority, it will not be a priority for our children, and the likelihood of their children even knowing about God is even less. And so make church a priority so that the future generations, there's an old song, it's not really that old, but it's old to some, and it says, we won't bend and we won't break, we won't compromise our faith for future generations. We're not just doing it for ourselves. We're not just doing it. I thank God for the people who have bled and died and sacrificed to make this country what it is. And I don't want to be the one that it loses. I don't want it to be under my watch that it loses what it was founded on. Neither do I want the church to fall under my watch. And so let's not tolerate inconsistency and unfaithfulness. Let's be faithful to the things of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Not on earth, but in heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. Bible said these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly They seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, everybody say came out, they might have opportunity to return, to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who brought you called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. That means temporal lust, which war against your soul. Say, Pastor, what do these scriptures have anything to do with each other? I want to preach tonight, teach tonight on this thought. The sacrifice of deliverance. The sacrifice of deliverance. Can we lift our hands? Can we ask the Lord to move in our minds, our hearts, and our souls today? Come on, we're strangers and pilgrims. Come on, we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. I'm not laying up treasures on earth, but I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I'm not laying up treasures where moth and dust and thieves can steal, but I'm laying up treasures because that's where my heart is. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The sacrifice of deliverance. Or for more clarification, if you'd like, the sacrifice of being delivered. Deliverance has always required departure. Jesus told them, go and sin no more. Leave where you are. Don't do what you've been doing. Change the way you act. Change the way you think. Change the way you talk. Depart. Bible says, put off the old man and the former behavior, the former conversation. Throughout Scripture, God calls his people out before he brings them in. Before there is a promise, there is a separation. Before there is an inheritance, there is a sacrifice. God called his people out of Egypt. Exodus 3 and 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, and by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land into a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. But they were living in Goshen. They had generations of families born in Egypt. The children of Israel had to leave Goshen, a place where they had homes, a place where they had businesses, a place where they had crops and farms, a place where they had flocks. Goshen was familiar. Goshen was where their home was. Generations were born there. Memories were made there. Even though it was touched by bondage, it was still comfortable. Yet when God called them to walk away from Goshen, everything was fine until God sent a man. Everything was good until God sent a deliverer. Everything was going fine until God made a promise. They had before he could get them to Canaan, they had to leave Goshen. And before he could give them a promised land. Yet God called them to walk away from what they knew to pursue. Before they knew what to pursue, before they even knew his promise. They left homes they built, fields they worked, neighbors they had known all their lives. Deliverance cost them something. Genesis chapter 41 and 42, Joseph called the son Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. They had a semblance of success. They raised families. They gave in marriage. They bore children. They buried loved ones. They were fruitful in the land that wasn't theirs. Then God called them out. They had to forsake comfort and the familiar. By faith, Moses, when he had come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect of the recompense of reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Amen. What was the Passover? The death angel was going to cross over that country and take the firstborn of every family, except those that had the blood. But until that day, he said, eat. But this is how you eat. He said, eat. Thou shalt eat it. And thou shalt have your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover by faith. Yes, I'm going to build homes. Yes, I'm going to have a job. Yes, I'm going to work. Yes, I'm going to provide. But I'm not looking for wealth. I'm looking for a place. I'm not looking for stability just here. I'm looking for a place. Yes, we're going to do everything that God called us to do about reaching our city. But when we eat in the spirit, we get our shoes on. We get our staff in our hand. We've got a hope. Yes, God, you're going to deliver us, but there's going to be some sacrifices. I got to walk away from comfort. I got to walk away from the things that are familiar. I've got to walk away, because what happens when you're delivered and you're not comfortable with the sacrifice of deliverance, you'll get out in a place that's unfamiliar. You'll get out in a place that's uncomfortable, and you'll long for what you had. Numbers 11 and 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. He said, avoid those temporal lusts. Avoid those fleshly lusts. The children of Israel also wept again, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Even the heavenly provision. When God takes you someplace that's not comfortable, when God leads you someplace that's not familiar, When God takes you out of bondage and brings you to a place of promise, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where the next meal's coming from. And God begins to start feeding you from heaven. Can I tell you that the manna is a type of the Holy Ghost? I would to God that we would never get to the place that the Holy Ghost isn't good enough. I would to God we'd never get to a place where we've grown so comfortable in our homes and on our jobs and with our 401k and with the money in the bank and the hourly wages that we make that the Holy Ghost feels dry. The Holy Ghost feels worthless. Can I tell you, there is a sacrifice that we must make in our deliverance. There is a sacrifice. A generation that were bound would never see the promised land because they could not forget the sacrifice of their deliverance. You know this, church, that the people that were bound in that country were brought out, but they complained and they murmured, and God marched them for 40 years. Until everyone that had been bound was dead, besides two men and their families who said, I'm not giving up on the promise. If God gave us the land, I want to see it. If God gave us provision, I want to see it. If God is willing to give us homes we didn't build, if God's willing to give me barns I didn't build and vineyards I didn't plant and wells I didn't dig, I've dug enough for Pharaoh. I dug enough for the world. I dug enough for Egypt. It's about time to go in and possess the place. Oh, yeah. But they couldn't see it because they didn't understand that deliverance comes with sacrifice. God brought me out. That means whatever was there when I was there, God brought me out of. If it's familiar or family or comfort. There's a difference between comfort and covenant. Covenant's not always convenient. But the Bible tells us that many, many years later, the same people, the same children of Israel, were called to leave Babylon and return to Jerusalem. Many had never seen Jerusalem. Babylon had become the norm for them. It had become all they knew. It had become home. Business had been built there. Families had grown there. Lives had been established there. Yet the call of God was greater than their comfort. Ezra chapter 1, the Bible says that Cyrus the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he had charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Hey, I know you're here. I know you're in bondage. I know we brought you here. But God's given me all the kingdoms. And he told me to tell you to go build his house. We don't want to go. We like Babylon. We got friends. We've got acquaintances. Now, we wouldn't go. They should all get up and run. But they didn't. About 50,000 people left. The rest stayed. Because bondage became comfortable. Because being bound became familiar. Because being bound didn't have as much sacrifice. God was asking for them to exchange familiar with faith, comfort with convenience, security for obedience. Only some chose to go. With all them whose spirit God had raised to go build a house for the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. The tragedy is that many chose to stay in Babylon because captivity had become easy. Ezra 9:9, for we were bondmen, yet God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. He hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving and to set up the house of our God. While I'm in bondage, I got mercy. And while I'm in bondage, I've got grace. And while I'm in bondage, I haven't been forsaken. While I'm in bondage, I've been revived. While I'm in bondage, I have a house. While I'm in bondage, I have a church. My God, we are so comfortable. We only get upset when things that we like in this world are not at our fingertips anymore. We get more upset about running out of toilet paper and Diet Dr. Pepper during COVID than we do about the abortions that happen on a daily basis. We get more upset about the inconvenience of social distancing and face masks and all of that than all the garbage that goes on in Hollywood and in the entertainment world and the sports world. That doesn't rile us up. But get a political ad going. Get something that impedes the way we operate in our daily life. It's only when the things we like become uncomfortable that we get stirred up. But we must remember, we're strangers and we're pilgrims. Come on, the Bible said, well, I mean, after all, we read Jeremiah 29. Where was this verse found? This verse was found in Jereminiah 29 and 4. During that Babylonian captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, unto all carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not diminish. Seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused ye to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Guess what? I want a clean city. I don't want shootings every other weekend. I don't want gang violence in my city. I want a nice home. I want food in the grocery store. I want comfort. I want convenience. I want revival. I want growth. But let's never forget that this world is still captivity. I don't care how much we increase, it's still captivity. No matter the success we have in this world, there's nothing wrong with success. But we must never forget that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I don't want to get so comfortable with captivity that I don't want to be delivered. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But Pastor, we're building a church. I understand that. And we're building homes. And we're building businesses. But in my heart of hearts, there's a come quickly, Lord Jesus. Jesus never promised that following him would cost nothing. In fact, he taught quite the opposite. Some are called to leave careers. Some are called to leave homes. Some are called to leave lifelong dreams. Some lose relationships. Some are misunderstood by families. Some forsake everything for a glimpse of a promise. In just a couple years, I have been full-time ministry for 20 years. It's crazy to think that in that 20 years and all the sacrifices that have been made, I've only caught glimpses of greatness. Just enough to keep me going forward. I've not walked into a 300-member church. I don't live in a mansion. I don't have money falling out of my ears. I don't have a choir. I don't have a full-fledged Sunday school class and department. We don't have 150 youth in a youth group. But I can see it out there. And I want it, and it keeps me going. But even more than that, there is something in my spirit. And the older I get, the more I understand it. Hear our cry, oh Lord. Never let me get comfortable with the white picket fence. Never let me get comfortable with the house. Never let me get comfortable. Come on, the sacrifice of deliverance is this, being willing to leave behind the temporal for the eternal. If God has something better for me, God, show me. God, if you got a plan, let me forsake all this. Come on, the journey from Egypt to Canaan was not just geographical, it was spiritual. The journey from Babylon to Jerusalem was not just physical, it was covenantal. The journey from heaven is not just about when I die, but how I live until I die. Come on, the journey that we're on today. We've got plans of grandeur. We've got plans of growth. We got plans of increase. But let's not forget, this world is not my home. Come on, faith always requires people to be willing to walk away from something. Abraham left Ur. Genesis 12:1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee. And he left. And you know what he did? He brought his dad with him. Is that what God told him to do? God said, get out. Leave it all. But he had to leave. Moses left Pharaoh's house, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Ruth left Moab, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people, and thy God will be my God. The disciples left all to follow Jesus. Matthew 4:20, they straightway left their nets and followed him. Paul left reputation. Paul left status. Paul left citizenship. Paul left education. Paul left all of that. In fact, Paul left it all with nothing to give because he was a murderer of the church and a persecutor of the church. But when he found truth, he said, I'll sit here in obscurity for years until God uses me. And you know what he said? I count it all as loss to win Christ. I count it all. I suffered all things and count them as dung, that I may win. You know what? This world, I've been delivered, and there's a sacrifice to pay. Every act of deliverance begins with surrender. Sometimes God will call you away from something that is comfortable, but not your calling. Sometimes God will lead you out of environments that feel safe, but keep you from your promise. Sometimes the greatest evidence of faith is being willing to leave what you see for what he said. Let me repeat that. Sometimes the greatest evidence of faith is being willing to leave what you see for what he said. God, if you said it, that settles it. I know what I see, but I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't understand the sacrifice, but God, if you're calling me to sacrifice, deliverance always has a price, but the promise is worth the sacrifice. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. Mark 10, 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake or the gospel's, which he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Can I tell you, everything I gave up to come to God, God has blessed me with more. Everything I've walked away from to come to God, he's blessed me with more. I'm living better now than I ever have. I got more family now than I walked away from. Come on, somebody, that's a testimony. Yes, you gave up something. Yes, you walked away from something. But the price is worth it. For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory we're involved. There's some sacrifice involved, but there's some glory coming. There's some glory. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I got more now than I had. God blessed me with more than what I left behind. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I mentioned this Sunday night. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're starting a business. I don't care if you're starting a diet. I don't care if you're exercising. I don't care what you're doing. Everything that you start requires effort and will cause you to be more uncomfortable until you reach the goal. And it will. And here's the kicker in all that. And if you stop, it'll get uncomfortable again. If you have to start over, it'll be uncomfortable again. Sometimes it's more uncomfortable the second time because you know the effort it took to get there. He said, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What you see right now is temporal. The way it is right now, it will change. But the things you cannot see, the things that are out there, that promised land, yes, you see giving up houses. Yes, you see giving up lands. Yes, you see walking away from familiar. But what you don't see is cities you did not build. What you don't see is wells you did not dig. What you don't see is joy unspeakable and full of glory. My city's going to hell in a handbasket. I understand that. But we're pilgrims and strangers. The valley's not what it used to be. But we're pilgrims and strangers. Bible says he gives you cities that you did not build. Hebrews 13, 14. For here have we no continuing city. My nature would like a small town in a very rural, remote area with a few people and a lot more cattle and horses than people. That's what my nature wants. My nature wants a quiet neighborhood and to live life until I die with all of my kids and grandkids around me. That's what my nature wants. But we don't have the luxury of that. Come on, the world can do that. You could just up and leave your job and go get in a van and just go travel the world. But apostolics don't have that freedom. I heard brother Doug Walker say this the other day. He said, we don't have freedom of speech as apostolics. We got to do what's right according to the Bible. All things may be lawful, but not all things are expedient. I can maybe do whatever I want to do, but God's got some. I'm a servant of Christ. I go bound in the Spirit. There's some sacrifice to being brought out of deliverance, brought out of drugs, and brought out of alcohol. And there's some sacrifice about being, well, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. There's a sacrifice in deliverance. I cannot do whatever I want. I can't show up when I want to. I can't stay home when I want to. I can't show up whenever time I want. I'm bound by some things. We don't have a continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hebrews 11 and 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let me tell you what he said in Deuteronomy 6:10. When the Lord shall brought you into a land and give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fieldest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. I'm going to tell you something. I may not have all that I want, but I'm not what I used to be. I may not have all the things that I want, but I'm not bound by alcohol. I'm not bound by drugs. I'm not bound by sin. And I declare plainly, I seek a country. I'm not looking where I am because I might return to it. I'm not looking what I walked away from. I might return to it. But now I desire a better country. I desire a heavenly that God hath prepared. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. I'm going to see him face to face, for I'll see him as he is. Praise God. I gave up apartment complexes with a bunch of single moms and bratty kids running around for heavenly places. He brought me out of a miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart. There's nothing I've given up. There's nothing I've walked away from. You say, oh, well, you must not have had much to give up. Let me tell you something. I like what Brother Plantania said about it one time. He said the Bray family was not escaping from Fresno. He had a nice house, a good job, retirement. In fact, let me just throw this out here for references. I'm going to be 53 this October. At 55, I could retire with it. That stuff was going on. That's in 2.5 years. I'm a whole lot further away from retirement right now. I am praying the older I get, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because I don't have any plan for the future. This is my plan A, my plan B, and my plan C. Why are you so involved? Because there is no other option. Because that city that I'm looking for, whose builder and maker is God, that's what I'm looking for. I'm going to tell you something, honey. There ain't nothing you gave up that compares to heaven. There ain't nothing you walked away from. Oh, that didn't get the response it should have got. There ain't nothing you've ever given up that compares to heaven. I don't know if some of you are ready to go to heaven, but there ain't nothing you walked away from. There ain't a house. There ain't a family member. There ain't anything. Oh, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I would have thought we'd have been at that point right there just ready. Here's the problem. This is a soft rebuke. This is a soft rebuke, church. We're too comfortable with the life we live to even think about heaven. It's not that we don't want to go to heaven. We just don't want to go tonight. I got things I want to do. I got things I want to see. I got things I want to experience. The only thing I want to experience before I go to heaven is revival. And if I'm not going to have revival, then take me to heaven. Don't you want to see your grandkids married off? Not really. Don't you want to see them succeed? Not really. I want to see them in heaven. I would rather them get to heaven before they have a chance to backslide. I'd rather them get to heaven before they have a chance to fail. I'd rather them get to heaven. I know a man right now, Brother Bill Garrett, Sr. His son was backslid for years, very successful, millionaire, multimillionaire, very successful asphalt company. We wish he still had the business now, but he don't. He's gone to meet his reward. But he got cancer, and he went all these places and paid all these doctors, and they couldn't heal him. They couldn't fix him. And so, and all of that happened. He came to church. He thought, here's the deal. I can't heal myself. Nobody else can heal me. I'm going to die lost. And so he came to church. He came to the altar years and years and years ago. And he prayed. He prayed through. And that man who was so anti-church, so anti-Christ, so anti-religion, for the next few months that he lived, became a witness and told his testimony and told his story everywhere. And people prayed. And they said, Brother, Elder Garrett, we're praying for Bill Jr. He said, don't pray for him unless you're praying, God, save him. If he's going to backslide, if you heal him, don't heal him. So he told me. He said, I said, God, if he's going to backslide, if you heal him, then don't heal him. We got to want heaven more. We got to want heaven more. That God, if this blessing causes me to backslide, if I live a life that causes my kids to backslide, if I live a life or say something or do something that causes my family to be lost, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But can I tell you, the Bible tells us that he'll dwell with them and he'll be his people, and God himself will be their God, and he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. We gotta want heaven more than this world can give us. We gotta want heaven more than anything this world can offer. We gotta want heaven. Come on, there's a sacrifice of being delivered. Oh, come on, lift your hands and your heart to heaven right now. Yes, God, I wanna be successful. Yes, God, I wanna. Yes, God, I want to have revival, but not more than making to heaven. Come on, this world's our Goshen. This world is our Babylon. This is not our home. We're just passing through. if you give me a mansion, don't let me want that one more than the one in heaven. God, if you let me build a house in a good neighborhood, don't let me forget I want to build a house on streets of gold. Come on, everybody, we'll be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Come on, I'm saved. I'm sanctified and on my way to heaven. And I'm looking for a city where the Lamb is the light. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? I gotta give up a career. I gotta give up a dream. Is that the cost you're willing to pay? Is that what you're willing to exchange your soul for? Let me tell you something. Whatever it takes, don't let me be lost for eternity. I must be saved. Help me make heaven my home. For without you, I could never make heaven my home. Come on, lift your hands all over this house right now. Come on, lift your hands all over this house right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm just a weary pilgrim. When the roll is called up yonder, heaven's jubilee. Here's the flip side of heaven. You know, the song says everybody will be happy over there. Well, if you're a grump, maybe you won't make it to heaven. If you're bitter, maybe you won't make it because everybody over there is going to be happy. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? We'll sing and dance and sing and dance and shout about whatever. Sing and dance, whatever. All of that. Won't it be wonderful? All those things. But here's the flip side of that. If we don't make heaven, it still won't matter how much you made here. The rich man was in torment. Father Abraham, there's a great gulf fixed. We can't get to where you are. He said, send somebody to tell him about my brothers. You know what Abraham said? Though one would rise from the dead, they would not listen. The flip side to not understand the sacrifice of being delivered is that we could focus on career, we could focus on finances, we could focus. There is more to life than making money. There's more to life than having the biggest checking account. There's more to it. Well, we could all pursue different things if we didn't weren't in church. But is that our thought process? If I wasn't in church, man, I could really be something. Yeah, lost. If I wasn't in church, man, I could really, if I didn't have all these services to be in and if I didn't have all this stuff to be involved in, I could really be something in life. Yeah. Even if you made all the money in the world, you'd still be lost. Right. Jeff Bezos is lost. Mark Zuckerberg is lost. Trump is lost. All those politicians that are worth millions are lost. They've really made something of themselves. They're lost. But here's the deal. I'm bound for eternity to live in heaven. And because of that, there are some sacrifices I have to make. And I'll gladly, just one glimpse of him in glory, will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven. What a day. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout. Come on, one more time. If you want to go to heaven, give God praise tonight. If you willingly sacrifice to be delivered, give God glory tonight. Oh, there ain't a thing in this world that compares to streets of gold and gates of pearl and seeing Jesus. Imagine this, and I'm closing. You focus on riches, you focus on wealth, you focus on entertainment, you focus on whatever life. Some folks, it's not even money, it's just entertainment, it's pleasure of sin, all of that. But let's just say you focused on money. You got to invest in gold, you got to have stocks and bonds, you got to have a portfolio, you got to have all this stuff. And you're lost. And you're without all of it. One song says, I haven't seen a hearse with a trailer hitch. The other one said, I haven't seen it with a luggage rack. Hearse don't pull trailers. You're not taking it with you when you go, okay? But you get to heaven and you're poor. You never ever got. I thought about this today. I thought, you know how life is crazy. When we lived in Canada, we had 25 acres. We had an arena with lights. We had a tack room with I think one saddle at the time. We had five horses and one saddle, and no horse trailer. Man, we were so close. Gave it all up, moved back to the United States, came here, lived in a trailer, bought this property, had horses, had saddles, no trailer, no nothing. Finally, after 7 years living on that property, we got a fence, and a month after the fence was up, we lost all of our horses. And I thought, God, you're just making sure that I'm always longing for something else. And I'm always looking for, because what would happen if we all got it all that we wanted? We got all the little pieces together, and we got what we wanted. We had our little house and our little acreage and our little thing. And we were comfortable, and we never gave God a second thought. God always keeps something in front of me that makes me long for heaven. God always. But even if we never got all the things we wanted, and we get to heaven, and we walk in that pearl gate, that gate that's made from one pearl. I'd like to see the oyster that made that pearl. And its foundations and its streets are gold. And the walls are jasper. And we say to ourselves, we almost gave this up for what they paved their roads with. There's going to be glory and riches in heaven. We're going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to be like him. We're going to be able to go wherever we want to go and do what. Why would I want to give up eternity in heaven with Jesus for anything? It's really not a say if you haven't figured it out. It's really not a sacrifice. It's really not a sacrifice to be delivered. There really is no sacrifice where it all comes down to it. Hey, heaven's worth it at any cost. Heaven's worth it at any price. Oh, clap your hands and give God praise. Oh, clap your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. You're probably thinking, what was that sacrifice of deliverance? Well, the whole point of it is really not. You gave up Egypt. Now, I know I said I'm closing, but I can't help but mention this. The Bible says they spoiled Egypt on their way out. Egypt had plagues. The army was drowned. And they took all their wealth with them. And they wanted to go back. Crazy. Crazy how we could forget how good God has been to us when things aren't comfortable. Nothing to go back to, church. Nothing to go back to. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Oh, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Savior. Oh, amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.